refuge in my fortress, protects me from the wicked, deadly ordinance. Snakes master psychology, phony people studying fakeology. Y'all see I'm a god, it's not ego. Psalms 82 verse 6, even JC know who be me. Lion face crew be deep, soldiers for y'all. Screw these streets in front like the heat goat. That's how I leap, waiting on the master. In the meantime, studying for my masters. Building houses, growing college, sharpening my sword, and I'm cutting up scholars. Raising my sons, searching for the wife. Yeah, I pray he find a virtuous one. Stand for justice, relieve the oppressed. Call on Yah, deliver the fatherless. Let Israel be blessed.
Keeping my eyes on Yah, I won't let up. I'm strong and bold, I won't give up. When I fall, He came and saved me. The righteous fall, don't let up. Every time we gon' get up. When I call, He came and saved me.
Yo, when the poor oppress the poor, it's like the sweeping rain, leaving no food, just pain. But Yah's name, I exclaim, feed my brethren wisdom. Yah willing, He will do the same. Shame and calamity on my family, trapped in captivity many years ago, holding the calico. Never know how my light glow till I step through them two doors. Left church, cause that was just fool's gold. My eyes the color of onyx. Yah's message came to me as clear as you telephonically alerting me. He opened the scrolls and fed His word to me. Now I'm a gift to those hope lost whose spirit is froze. The knowledge of how they conquer their foes. Enemies be hatred itself. Something dangerous like this crack is wealth. Let's leave Babylon and let Yah be our help.
Keeping my eyes on Yah, I won't let up. I'll be strong and bold, I won't give up. When I fall, He came and saved me. The righteous fall, don't let up. Cause every time we gon' get up. When I call, He came and saved me. Keeping my eyes on Yah, I won't let up. I'll be strong and bold, I won't give up. When I fall, He came and saved me. The righteous fall, don't let up. Every time we gon' get up. When I call, He came and saved me.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah for another week, another night, another program, another day that He has, through His great mercies, allowed us to bring to you another beautiful program of Nothing But the Truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Ben Yisrael, out of the house of Israel of Raleigh, North Carolina, bringing you Nothing But the Truth. And of course, as I let all our beautiful brothers and sisters know that's listening by the way of Blog Talk, that's listening by the way of internet, I let them know that all they're going to get, all I will let them tell them is the truth and nothing but the truth. But if some reason you are suspicious of anything that I might say or bring before you, give me a call and we will discuss it. Again, let me say shalom to my beautiful brothers and sisters that's listening in. To listen in every week. Truly, I praise the mighty Yah for all of you all, because I know the only reason you are listening is because of your fear your dedication toward the Most High. So I praise the mighty Yah for you. And again, before we get into our lesson for tonight, and before we deal with any questions or anything, first let me update everyone of what's going on in our gathering, in our endeavor to seek the Most High in Jamestown, Virginia. As many of you all may have heard and began to receive word as well as messages and text messages, we have changed the host hotel for this particular conference or endeavor or gathering. We will not be at the Hilton Garden Inn. We will be at the Comfort Suites Hotel, which is in the same area in Suffolk, Virginia. And we do apologize for any inconvenience that this may have on anyone. The reason for the change is because of we hear some indifferences with the ownership at the particular Hilton Garden Inn that we no longer could overcome. And so we switched hotels. And of course, it was a blessing because the conference suites that we switched to is just as nice as the Hilton Garden Inn that we formerly had. Not only is it just as nice, they're offering the same teas as well as the same room, comfort, free breakfast. The only difference is the comfort suites is $21 cheaper. So instead of our gathering at the host hotel cost was $96 a night, we got the great deal of $75 a night at the comfort suites. So we're saving everyone $21 a night, which we believe is a great blessing. And furthermore, this particular hotel, from what I'm told, is also owned by Hebrews. And so they're very familiar with Hebrew culture because they're owned by Hebrews. I don't know if they ran and operated by Hebrews, but from what I hear, Hebrews have a great stake in this particular hotel. But nevertheless, we did switch hotels. And yes, you do have to cancel your room reservations at the Hilton Garden Inn. Please do that ASAP. And then when you cancel, you make your reservations now at the Conference Suites Hotel. If you didn't receive our information, you can go to our website, worldgatheringyisrael.org, worldgatheringyisrael.org, to get all the information at the conference suites and make your reservations. We'll also be sending out various texts and emails to everyone to make sure that they information, and we will follow up just to make sure we got this information to everyone. And you want to cancel your rooms because once the rooms are canceled, then they're able to charge a different rate. So for some who may think, well, I'm gonna just stay at this hotel. That wouldn't be a good idea. We got a group rate, and once that group is no longer there, then that would change the rate. But we have a better rate, conference suites. The conference suites have, it's an all suite property, and they have two queen beds in the suites, or you can get a king suite with the let out couch. So it's a very nice hotel. We have our meeting space, we have our breakfast, and we're ready to go. Again, if you have any issues or problems, give me a call, 919-931-6216. Or you can call your host at 404-593-3467. Again, our information is on the website. And also, I may add, you want to go to our website and get the updated current itinerary for the three-day gathering. We also will be emailing this itinerary out and trying to circulate this information as well. So if you want to know what's going on, there's 3 days for the gathering. It's on our website, worldgatheringisrael.org, worldgatheringisrael.org. And that way you won't be confused at all about what we are planning and what we are doing. And it's true, other Israelites are doing other things. But this is what we have proposed and went all over the country, letting our people know, visiting and talking with the various Morays and elders and leaders about what we're doing. And we ask the leaders, as we talk to them on the phone, as we talk to them in person, and as well as the elders, if this is something that you thought wasn't good, it wasn't according to the scriptures, and it's something that we should not be introducing to our people, let us know. And of course, as we went around the country and talked to the various leaders and elders, there was not one leader, there was not one elder that we talked to person or over the phone. Not one said this endeavor was wrong, it was sinful, it was something that we should not be doing, and it's not the word of Yah. Not one. As a matter of fact, we had total support. Now, it is true that we have heard there's leaders, they did not support what we're doing, they did not support this endeavor, and that they don't see this endeavor. Of course, these leaders have not called us to tell us these things, even though many of these leaders we have called, and many of these leaders we have asked other people to have them call us. But we were not able to talk with these leaders to get their point of view. But nevertheless, we've been in these leaders' cities. We sent letters to them, emails, and left personal messages. So if anyone say, well, I did not know, we didn't know what was going on, so forth and so on, it's more likely not the truth. Because we have reached out to just about everybody we knew, or everyone that we know, as well as others that we did not know, because numbers and names was passed on to us. So I just wanted to update everyone on that. So please cancel your reservations at the Hilton Garden Inn. it should not be any penalty at all. And make your reservations at the Comfort Suites at the Sofa, Virginia location. And let me update you all on my travels over the past or last weekend. Because as many of you all know, I was in Jackson, Mississippi. And it was beautiful. It was awesome. As it always is when I go to Jackson, Mississippi. Was there visiting the House of Israel there under the leadership Moray, yourself, Israel, and it was beautiful. It was great. And as always, the House of Israel there in Jackson, Mississippi treat me like a prince, and I love them for it. And matter of fact, most people who visit there, they treat that way. And so if you want to learn how to be treated from coming out of town, go to Jackson. So they do a real good job. Of course, everybody make mistakes. Nobody is perfect, but my goodness, they do a great job. And why was I in Jackson, Mississippi? I was there to fellowship with my beautiful brothers and sisters, to update them about seeking the Most High, as well as meeting another one of our beautiful brothers named Jehoshaphat Israel, who is the editor-in-chief and founder of the Jerusalem Chronicle paper. Brother Jehoshaphat has a Black History Month program that he do every year. And this year's program invited us to Louisiana, Wallace, Louisiana, which is about 30 miles outside of New Orleans, to a plantation called the Whitney Plantation. And we met there at the Whitney Plantation, many of us, in Louisiana. We had the Sabbath day in Jackson, Mississippi, and we drove 2.5 hours to the Whitney Plantation, and we all prayed because we knew we were going to probably see and experience things that will appeal to our emotions, and it did. It did. And what did we see at this plantation? At this plantation, the Whitney Plantation, this plantation had been operating for hundreds of years and all the way up until 1970 is when this plantation stopped operating. Many of the descendants and people that came from this plantation, actually, many of them that lived on the plantation, or some of them still live today. They were small children when their parents was on this plantation. Of course, they're old and grown now. And many of them have generations from this plantation, generations of families. Particularly, we had our tour guide. She probably was no more than in her late 20s, mid to late 20s, early 30s. I didn't ask her what her age was, but she looked young. Ancestors was on that same plantation that she is now working on, getting tours of the, and she knew firsthand the very stories, the very life that was afforded to many of our people. And the life that was afforded to them was not good at all. And she now worked daily on that plantation. Many of the families that came off that plantation lived all around the plantations. And when we came into the plantation and left the plantation, you can see them sitting on their porches, in their driveways, watching us go into this plantation just to visit. And what were we visiting? We were visiting or revisiting their life there, and their parents' life there, and their parents' life there, and their parents' life there. The most surreal feeling that I've ever had in my life. And what made this Whitney plantation so unique than a lot of the other plantations they propped up and making money off of and so forth and so on, what made this unique is because many of the people who came off this plantation, some of them still live today. And what they did was, because many of them were still living, they interviewed these black folks and asked them how was life on these plantations when they was little. And how was the life of their parents? What did their parents say to them? And so forth and so on. So many of the stories that we were told, and they have a wall of memory where they have the various names and quotes of all the people that was on this plantation. They actually had their names and where they came from. They only had a first name, but they wouldn't give blacks last name, but they had what part of Africa they came from or what part of the islands they came from, whether they came from Barbados or Jamaica, or whether they came from, whether they was an Igbo or whether they was an Ashanti or whatever they was, wherever they came from, they had that listed. The records were so detailed that they knew who was born and when they was born, and they had death records on these individuals, whether they died as a child or an adult, or they had very detailed records. And why did they have these detailed records? Well, they had these detailed records because just like any property, were insured, and they were their money. So they had to have a record of how many people was on a plantation, how many people died in a particular year, and what was their names, and where did they come from. These records was very detailed. They would tell, one report that was saying on this particular plantation, there was over 400 people on this plantation. And the various stories that the blacks left on record, none of them were good. None of the stories were good. One particular story that struck me, and they all were bad, but one story said that if they were caught praying, they had to run and hide in the woods because they knew that it was a done deal for them. They was never to be caught praying. And even though it was that many people on a plantation, the life expectancy, they said most of the children on a plantation didn't live past the age of 3. even though many lived till they were adults, most died when they were infants. They didn't live past 3. This is how terrible the conditions was on this plantation. So this is what we went to see, and it was profound and powerful, and something that we needed to see and needed to know before we go to seek the Most High. And we got some real powerful things planned for this 3-day gathering. So don't think it's just going to be a hallelujah fest where we're just going to shalom, brother, this. No, this is going to be something that you have never experienced in your life. And it is true we're looking forward to it because we're tired. We're very tired. We're tired of all the killing, all the hatred, all the deception, all the adversity. And so we're asking the Most High to return and make the crooked thing straight. We have tried. Now it's time to let the Most High do his work. But we have to get out of his way and humble ourselves so that he can use us as the instruments that he say he will use us for in the last days. And he won't use us unless we learn how to walk with him. And if you want to know how to walk with the Most High, all you have to do is go to the book of Micah, to the 6th chapter. And this is what it says in Micah, the 6th chapter, starting at the 6th verse. And this is what it says. Wherewith shall I come before Yah, and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will Yah be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, or fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Is that what I should do, since that's what Christians believe? You have shown thee, O man, what is good, and what do Yah require of thee, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Elohim. And this is what we have to do. We got to humble ourselves, and we got to start walking humbly with the Most High. And this is what we're going to do. And we pray everybody who can will join us in this endeavor. Again, we had a beautiful Sabbath day in Jackson, Mississippi. And there we dealt with various different things. But what I dealt with is something recorded in the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse, Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 18th verse, where it states, where there is no vision, the people perish, and happy is he that keep the law. And I wanted our people to know and understand that one of the reasons why we are perishing today is because we're not visionaries anymore. The only thing that we're teaching today is what was taught to us yesterday. And we have no visions of tomorrow. And I was showing and demonstrating that our people had vision. They were able to see the future. And why can't we see the future? If their Elohim showed them visions tomorrow, why can't we see visions of tomorrow? Well, indeed, the Creator gave me a vision of tomorrow, and that vision of tomorrow he gave me and inspired me to tell the people is that we got to seek him. We have to gather ourselves to seek him because the Most High have determined evil upon his people as well as the world. All of Israel agree with this fact. I don't think that's in dispute with anyone. But the question is, what will we do about it? What is our responsibility to help ourselves evil determination? And the Creator let us know what we should do. And this is the vision he gave me, and this is what we of the Restoration of the Sacred Laws Conference propose, and this is what we went and have been going around the country to let the people know. We must seek Yah. And what sin is it in that? Well, there's no sin in that at all. But there is prophecies also for those who refuse to seek the Most High. And we will deal with that. But this is what I dealt with in Jackson, Mississippi. But I wanted to emphasize something that I didn't emphasize in Jackson. Just a couple things, and then we're going to get into a couple other things. One of the things I didn't emphasize that I did let the people know, Abraham was a visionary. Isaac was a visionary. Jacob was a visionary. All these men, even their wives, were visionaries. So brothers are not the only ones that can be visionaries. All of us are from the house of Israel. And we all should be visionaries. And what is a visionary? A visionary is someone who can see tomorrow. And you don't see tomorrow just of yourself. You see tomorrow because of the Most High. And why would Yah show you about tomorrow? He will show you about tomorrow because of his relationship with him. This is what the Creator would do if he has established a relationship with you. How did he establish a relationship with our fathers? One of the ways he established a relationship with our fathers, starting with Abraham, you notice in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, the Creator did something. I'll read that real quick because I won't go through all this as I did last week, but I just want to just point something out. In the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, and you'll read this in the 5th verse, and watch what it says, Genesis 17 and 5. It says, neither shall thy name any more be called Abel, but thy name shall be Abraham, or Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And not only he did that with Abraham, but watch what he did with his wife in the 15th verse. And Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarai thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And why? Because now the Creator is establishing a relationship with them that you don't know the significance of this unless you have vision. And what did he do with Isaac? Well, with Isaac, look at the 19th verse of the same chapter. And what do it say? What do it say? And Elohim said, Sarah, thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Yitzhak, or Isaac in English, and I will establish my covenant with them for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. So here the Almighty changed Abraham's name, Abram to Abraham, Sarah to Sarah, and then he personally named Isaac. And what did he do with Jacob? In the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter, if you turn there. Because all these things have relevance to visions. Because this is what the Creator will do once he begins to establish a relationship with his servant. And this is what it says in Genesis, the 32nd chapter. I'm going to start reading the 24th verse. And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day break. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Yisrael. For as a prince hast thou power with Elohim and with man, and hast prevailed. And that's what Israel means. That's what Yisrael means. Power with Elohim and with man. And has prevailed, has conquered, has overcome. This is what your great name means. But little do people know, they don't think these names are great. They don't think these names are anything that we should have high esteem, self-esteem about. Here it is, the Almighty went through this great work to change our names. And there's many people today refuse to change their names. They don't see any reason why they should change their names. I don't even, be quite frank, although I changed my name and I legally changed my name, I don't have to be a Hebrew to change my name, because once I learned that these were the names of our oppressors, who will want that name? Who will have high self-esteem about a name that came from your enemies and your oppressor? This is no reason to have high self-esteem about. Well, many of our people won't change their name, even though your ancestors had their names changed. And their names was changed, and it was a family name that the Creator changed. Abram got his name from his parents. They weren't heathens. And Jacob got his name from his father Isaac. And he wasn't a heathen. And the Creator still changed his name. And here we got heathen names, and we refuse to even think about changing our names. And then what's even worse than not changing your name is changing your name, and then you have other Hebrews that won't even call you by your Hebrew name. What kind of voodoo is that? That sounds like some hatred, that you go through the trouble establish a relationship with the Most High on a Hebrew name, and you got people, Hebrews, walking around will call you something other than what your Hebrew name is. Does this sound like a righteous act? No. No, it don't. Of course, I love one of my beloved brothers and elders. I won't say his name, but those know who, they know him in Mississippi. And he referred to the Moreda by his slave name. I couldn't understand it. So I had to correct him right there in front of the people. And I did that because I want our people to know these names are great. These are the names of our ancestors. The names of our people. And if you're going to glorify anything, you glorify what came from our fathers, from the Most High. Let's stop showing hatred to one another. This is what Satan and the enemies want us to do. Now, it wasn't done on purpose, because we did a lot of things we just do because of lack of knowledge. We do out of habit. But I'm trying to teach and tell all our brothers and sisters, if somebody call you out your name, correct them. Don't let people call you just anything. Correct them. You are Hebrews. You're Israelites. And this is what you should be known as. And the only way I will call you something other than a Hebrew name on Israel is only because I don't know. But if I don't know and you have one, correct me so I will know. The Almighty went through great trials to change our father's name. You have went to great states to change your name. Use it. Allow it to bring glory to the Most High. And don't let nobody call you out your name. That's all I wanted to say about that. I didn't emphasize it enough when I was in Jackson, Mississippi, but I wanted to take the opportunity to do it now. One of the things that we will be doing over the course of the next several weeks or next few weeks is really trying to get our brothers and sisters, our people, into the very mindset that you have to be in to be prepared to go before Yah. This is what we want to try to do, because there is a lot of things that should do when they go before the Most High. And the greatest thing one can do is something that a lot of people take for granted and don't even try to do. You'll find this in the book of Proverbs, the 4th chapter, the 7th verse. And this is what it says. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. In other words, most people don't realize the main thing that one should be attempting to do in their whole entire life, the main thing is attempting to get wisdom. And why is wisdom the main thing? Why is wisdom the most important thing? Well, the reason why wisdom is the most important thing is because no man, no woman, no one can have understanding unless they first get wisdom. Understanding comes from wisdom. And in order for you to understand anything, you first must have wisdom. This is why wisdom is the main thing. But what is wisdom? Little do people know, wisdom is a spirit. It's a spirit. And just like any spirit, it can come upon you and overtake you and enter you and become you. But it also can leave you and escape you and elude you and hide from you and run from you. No one owns a spirit. The only spirit that you own is the spirit that you was born with, that you was made with. And outside of that, if any spirit want to take hold to you, it can. And it will, and it has. And the only way you can fend off any type of spirit is by having the best one that you can possibly get. Top spirit that anyone can possess is wisdom. This is the top. This is the best. But how do you get it? How do you obtain it? How do you get this spirit to want to be a part of you? This is very important to know. See, our people today, believe it or not, all our people, either dealing with some type of adversity, all our people in some form, fashion, or way is dealing with sickness, adversity, vexation, and all kind of disease. This is what our people are faced with day in and day out. Now, how do our people approach this adversity? Whether this adversity is their marriage, whether this adversity is their relationship with their community, whether their adversity is dealing with some type of sickness or disease or vexation, maybe what they're dealing with is their job or can't find a job. Maybe they're looking for a husband and it has escaped them, eluded them. Maybe they're looking for a wife and it escaped them and it eluded them. Maybe they're looking for just some companionship, someone to talk with, and that has eluded them. But either way, they are dealing with adversity, vexation, loneliness, sickness, disease. Well, little do people know. Do you know the very thing that actually solves problems? The very thing that one must receive all problems, to make the crooked things straight, to bring happiness and love and joy and good health to your life is wisdom. I know many problems you think you can handle on your own. But in truth, look in the mirror, look at yourself, and ask yourself, are you healed and fixed from all the various calamity and destruction, evil that have pursued us, overtook us, and then destroyed us? Well, there's only one thing that in the whole entire scriptures that can help you, and it's wisdom. And where do this wisdom come from? It comes from the Most High. And how do you get it? And we're going to be dealing with this. We're going to be dealing with this. And I'm going to show you the seven things that everyone must do to transform themselves. And all seven things, only wisdom can do it. Let me show you a couple of scriptures on wisdom, though, so you can understand what I'm saying. For instance, in the book of Proverbs, third chapter, I just want you to see this. Because what are we discussing tonight? We're discussing how to get ready before the Most High, how to prepare ourselves for the Most High. Well, in order for you to prepare yourself for the Most High, this transformation that you must undergo has to start now. It can't start later. It has to start now. And there are certain things that one can do right now in order for them to be prepared for Yah. And watch what this says. Right now, I'm in Proverbs, the third chapter. And I'm going to start reading at the 13th verse. And watch what this says. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Now, first thing first, a lot of people are unhappy. A lot of people are vexed. A lot of people are not feeling good at all. They're sick, they're diseased. But here in the scripture, it says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom. And why would that bring happiness? Why? Well, it's going to tell you why. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou can desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace, a life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Now, don't you see the significance, the importance of wisdom? And see, the thing is, you might see how important it is, but do you know how to get her? Do you know how to hold on to her? Do you know how to attract her to you? Because why would wisdom avail herself to you? What have you done that wisdom says, I want to be a part of him? I want to be a part of her. I want to walk with her, and I want to walk with him. Have you done anything to attract her?
Watch what this says. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thy ear unto my saying. Let them not depart from thy eye. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Did I read that right? It says wisdom, talking about wisdom, it says, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. So not only wisdom will make you happy, but wisdom will also heal you. Wisdom will heal you. Tell you what else wisdom will do in the book of Proverbs, the 8th chapter. Just showing you a couple of scriptures before I begin to show you how this will transform your life. This is. And we're going to start reading the 33rd verse, Proverbs 8 and 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the post of my doors. Is that what you're doing to be happy? Is that what you're doing to be healed of your disease and your sickness? Is this what you're doing to find a husband or one to find a wife? What it says, for whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of Yah. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. This is wisdom. This is how precious wisdom is. Look at Proverbs, the 8th chapter, the 1st verse. Do not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of the high places, by the way in the places of the path. She cry at the gate, at the entry of the city, at the coming in and at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. Again, talking about wisdom. And this is what I found so beautiful about wisdom. As I stated before, wisdom is a spirit. See, even though a man above a woman, a husband rules his wife, father over his daughter. But who's over wisdom? Do you realize that just as a man can receive wisdom, so can a woman? And do you realize that a woman can have more wisdom than a man? In other words, wisdom
is what makes the playing field equal. And why? Because wisdom is a spirit. But see, when a woman receives wisdom, she's not going to become a man. She's going to become a better woman. Whether she's a wife, whether she's a daughter, whether she's a queen or a princess, whether she's a prophetess, she will become a better one. And likewise with a man. He become a better father, a better husband, a better teacher, a better prophet, a better whatever. But wisdom makes the playing field equal. This is why if you're looking for the right things, taking hold to the right thing, your life can be transformed right before your eyes. And we want your life to be transformed, but you have to have the right knowledge for this to happen. And let me tell you, one of the first things one have to transform, if they indeed plan on having wisdom. So you got to call for her. You got to be standing. You got to wait. You got to think, meditate. You got to try to seize this spirit. This spirit is elusive, but this spirit is calling out to you. And why do you want her? Aren't you sick? Aren't you tired? Aren't you vexed? Aren't you full of adversity, full of disease, full of problems? If you any of those things, you want wisdom. You want wisdom. Watch what this says in the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. Because this is where we at today. In the book of Genesis, the 6th chapter. And watch what it says. Genesis 6 and 5. It says, and Elohim saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And believe it or not, brothers and sisters, do you realize that this is why our people are sick today, diseased today, hate one another today, don't get nothing they want today? It's because their heart is only evil. It's only evil. And if you have this type of heart, do you realize wisdom don't want to have nothing to do with you? Nothing at all. Wisdom won't have nothing to do with you, because your heart is only evil. Let me show you something. Let me show you how you can begin transforming yourself. Watch this in the book of Psalms, the 10th chapter. Here, during the time of Noah, the Creator said he had to destroy the whole earth by flood. And why? Because the imagination of man's heart was only evil. In other words, he just imagined evil things. That's all his thoughts was about, evil. And look, that's most of the thoughts today. The only reason that the earth is not being destroyed by flood today is because the Almighty promised and made a covenant with the earth that he would not destroy the earth in it because of man.
But look what it says in the book of Psalms, the 10th chapter. And what are we discussing? We're discussing how to transform yourself and how to go before Yah prepared so that we can be healed. Watch this. Psalm, the 10th chapter, the 4th verse. It says, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after Elohim. This is what the wicked will throw. He's not going to seek Elohim. But watch what it says. And Elohim is not in all his thoughts. That's the wicked. The wicked is not thinking about the Most High. The wicked is not thinking about Elohim all day and all night. But if you desire to be healed, if you desire to be transformed, if you desire to be happy, you got to have Elohim in your thoughts continually. In other words, you got to meditate on him day and night, always thinking about the Most High. Is this hard to do? Not for me. Because I think about the Most High all day and all night. And y'all know I'm telling you the truth. I'm meditating all day, all night. And in between meditating, I'm studying and reading. And when I'm not studying and reading, I can be clean, I can be doing whatever, but I'm thinking about the Most High. Why? Because the wicked Elohim is not in his, Elohim is not in all his thoughts. And he's got to be in all your thoughts if you desire to be healed, to be happy. Watch what this says in the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter. So the first thing that has to happen, you must transform the way you think. You got to transform the way you think. Watch what this says in the book of Proverbs, the 16th chapter, the 3rd verse. It says, commit thy works unto Yah, and thy thoughts shall be established. If you're thinking good things, Yah will establish those thoughts. But these thoughts must come from work. And what type of work? Works that are committed to the Most High. You have to commit yourself to the Most High. And everybody's not committed to the Most High. Look, I walk around certain people, I know they don't even want to speak. I know they don't want to speak. I go around some people, I can see their countenance, their haughtiness in their spirit. Very haughty in spirit. I can see it a mile away. That's a clear sign to me that Elohim is not in all his thoughts. And mind you, most of these people I'm talking about, it happens on the Sabbath day because that's when I'm around most Israelites, on the Sabbath day, which is even doubly bad. People saying shalom when they really don't mean shalom. People saying they love you and they really don't love you. Elohim is not in all your thoughts. The Almighty said he wants sincerity of the heart. Don't be like the wicked. For the wicked, Elohim is not in all his thoughts. You want to be like the righteous. You want to commit yourself to Yah so that your thoughts can be established. Meditate day and night on Yah, on his words, on his laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments. And why would you do that? Watch what this says in the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. And I won't have enough time to get to all the various things that one has to do to transform itself, but I at least wanted to get to this first one. And that is, you have to change the way you think. That's where it's got to start. It has to start how you think. And I tell you, man, goodness, the imagination of the mass majority of our people is only evil. They're not going to be honest and tell you that, but it is the truth. After I finish showing you these seven things, you're going to see with your own eyes. What I'm telling you is the truth. But if you want to be different, if you want to be peculiar, if you want to be set apart, if you want to be a special treasure, if you want wisdom to be healed, to be happy, to find life, if you want that, you have to change the way you think. Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, watch what this says. Starting at the fifth verse, Deuteronomy 4 and 5. Behold, I've taught you statutes and judgments, even as Yah my Elohim commanded me, that ye should do so in the land, whether ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who have Elohim so nigh to them, as Yah our Elohim is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I said before you this day? Because this is your wisdom. And the very thing that I'm teaching you is wisdom. But oftentimes people don't know how to take hold of it. And I'm teaching you how to take hold of it. And I'm telling you where you have to start. You have to start at the very imaginations of your heart. How you think. How you think. Because how you think ultimately will transform and produce evil actions, evil deeds. This is what will happen. Instead of you talking good, you'll start talking bad. Instead of you being nice, you're going to be mean. Instead of you helping, you're going to be hurting. Instead of you loving, you're going to hate. This is what bad thoughts will do. So it starts the very way you think. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all that getting, get understanding. And you're going to see how this wisdom will transform your life. You just have to know how
to get her. She's calling for you. She's looking for you. She's waiting on you. She's right there in front of your face. You just don't see her because she's a spirit. But she's right there waiting to enter the gates of your heart. But you got your doors locked. And what I'm trying to do is unlock the doors so she can come in. Give us a call. 347-838-8963. Especially those that's listening by the way of internet. Just in case we go over, you want to be able to get in. So give us a call. Internet listeners, 347-838-8963, because we have about 10 minutes left. And if you want to make any comments, once you call in, all you have to do is press the number 1 on your phone. 347-838-8963. What are we discussing tonight? We're discussing how to prepare yourself before you go to seek Yah. Transform yourself. How to be happy. How to find peace. How to find love. How to rid yourself of sickness and disease. You got to find wisdom. How do you find it? You have to change the way you think. Our thoughts are deadly. The Almighty destroyed the whole earth by flood just because of the imagination of man's heart, because it was only evil. Thing you can do with an evil mind, an evil heart, is destroy a person. Because after that, they're no good. Unless the person is willing to change. Well, let me show you the second thing that one must do in order for the in order for them to transform themselves into a whole nother person. And you'll find this in the book of Proverbs, the 12th chapter. And we were dealing with how a person thinks, his thoughts. But watch what it says in the book of Proverbs, the 12th chapter. And once I have it, I got it. This is what I want you to read in Proverbs, the 12th chapter. I'm going to read the 18th verse. And this is what it says. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. A lot of people don't know this, but do you know there's healing in the mouth, healing in the tongue? We don't realize how deadly our thoughts is and how deadly our words are. But just as deadly as our thoughts are and our words are, that's how life and good health can bring to us with good thoughts and good words. Tell you something else in the book of Proverbs, the 15th chapter. Watch what this says. Proverbs 15:4. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. And what is a tree of life? Tree of life is supposed to be something good. What's it? Give you life. It says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. But the perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. No wonder we all messed up. No wonder we're sick. Because we don't even know how to talk to one another. Men don't know how to talk to their wives. Wives don't know how to talk to their husbands. No wonder we all stressed out and messed up and either getting divorced, ready to divorce. Because instead of us using our tongue for the tree of life, we're using our tongue as a sword and piercing. We're not using our tongue to love one another. We're using our tongue to hate one another. No wonder we're sick. We thinking bad and we're talking bad. I see one of the callers is up, and I'm going to go through one of our callers in Ohio. Go to, I think this is one of our Marais out of the House of Israel, Cincinnati, Marais Isha, Israel, if I'm correct. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, Marais. How you doing?
Praise the mighty Yah, doing excellent.
Praise the mighty Yah. I'm really enjoying your program tonight. It's very well. You're doing a very good job in relaying the message. And I just wanted to second that, what you've been saying, especially about when we were in Louisiana and the magnitude of the seriousness of what our people have gone through in slavery and what we're going through today. It was really brought to the forefront. Something that all our people need to consider, the past that we have gone through to be here today in our captivity. And then also you had mentioned something in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, speaking on wisdom. In the 17th verse, it said, her ways are of pleasantness and all her paths are peace. And I found that to be very profound. For me, myself, I'm searching for peace, and the answer for peace is right here, to seek out wisdom. And that's something I believe we all need to pay close attention to. And if we want peace, if we need peace, which we do, because as you said, we're all sick and have some kind of affliction, and all we want is peace. And if we want peace for real, then our goal should be to retain and obtain wisdom. And just one more point I wanted to bring out about what you're saying about wisdom and obtaining wisdom and changing our thoughts. It says in Proverbs, the 2nd chapter, in the 2nd verse, or the 3rd verse, it says, yea, if you cry us after knowledge and lift us up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hid treasures, then shall you understand the fear of Yah and find the knowledge of Elohim. For Yahweh giveth wisdom, and out of his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So if we want this wisdom that you're teaching about, we have to cry out for it and search for it and go after it the way we go after all these vanities in our life today. So I think that what you're speaking about, brother, is completely on point. It moved me, and it gave me a lot to consider, and I hope it's done the same for everybody else in the listening audience. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, and I appreciate those words, and I appreciate that, Murray, because I know you accompany us down into Louisiana and Jackson, Mississippi as well, and I praise Yah that you were able to witness the same things that I witnessed and that we seen together. Hallelujah. And you only got a few seconds to call in to our program, 347-838-8963. Of course, if you have any comments, just press the number 1 on your dial. And also he spoke of wisdom, and he's right. It's very near unto us. It's not far away that we have to go and say who will bring it to us and bring it over to us, who will go up into heaven to get it for us. It is very near unto us, even in our mouth. All we have to do is search her, want her, take hold to her, and make her a part of us. That's all we have to do. It is not rocket science. Let me show you something real quick. In the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter, and then I got another caller up, and we're going to go to the caller. But watch what this says in the book of Proverbs, the 18th chapter. I just want you to see this, how you can really transform yourself, your sicknesses, your diseases, your peace. As the Moray talked about, we want peace. And these are the things we got to do. Proverbs, the 18th chapter, watch what it says in the 21st verse. It says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, if you use your tongue for life and peace and love, you're going to eat the fruit thereof. But if you use your tongue for death, always cussing somebody out, always talking to somebody nasty, always slandering and gossiping and pointing the finger and don't have nothing good to say and making people feel bad and embarrassed, what do you think you're going to get from that? You're going to get death. So you got to change the way, change how you talk to one another. And if you want to practice this, start at home. Start talking to your wives with love and respect. Talk to your children with love and respect. Talk to your brothers and sisters with love and respect. Talk to your husband with love and respect. Talk to your brothers and sisters with love and respect. This is where you start practicing these things. And I can assure you, wisdom will be yours. We're going right to another one of our callers. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom, shalom, all right.
Shalom, shalom. Go ahead. We have one of our sisters in the 984 area code, which is North Carolina. Go ahead. I'm listening in.
Okay, shalom, Moraine. Shalom to your listening audience. I just want to chime in and say earlier today I was studying how our forefathers prepared themselves to seek the Most High. I studied individuals, and I studied the children of Israel as a nation, and I found out that there was a protocol for seeking the Most High. The first one was to admit or confess your sin or trespass. The second one was to cease from doing the trespass or the sin. And the third one on the list was to prepare your heart, which is where wisdom comes in at. You have to prepare your heart before you seek the Most High. You just can't go to the Most High any kind of way. and then ask him for forgiveness for your sin. It's a rule. It's a protocol. It's a way to go to the Most High. And you have to have that wisdom before you go to the Most High. And the wisdom would tell you what you were doing was wrong and that you have to repent of whatever you did as a nation or as an individual. And examples of those, the way our foreparents did it, is in 1 Samuel 7, 1 through 6. That's one. Another one is Ezra 10, 1 through 9. Another one is Joel 2, 12 through 19.
Well, this is beautiful. And let us read one of them before we get you off the line. Which one would you like us to read?
1 Samuel 7, 1 through 6, please.
All right. 1 Samuel. Let us go to 1 Samuel. And what chapter in 1 Samuel?
7.
The 7th chapter in 1 Samuel. And I may add, you're absolutely correct. It is a protocol. And our protocol is we just got to admit that we don't know it all. And since we don't know it all, we ain't been doing it all. And then once the Creator allow and show us what we've been doing wrong and make the crooked things straight, then we got to be straight. And we just got to stop sinning. And then thirdly, you're right. We got to get our heart together. And this is an example of how we go about doing the right thing when we go to seek the Most High. In the book of 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verses 1 through 6, this is what it says. And the men of Kijathjearim came and fetched up the ark of Yah, and brought him to the house of Abinadi in the hill, to sanctify Eleazar his son to keep the ark of Yah. And he came to pass while the ark abode in Kijathjearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after Yah. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto Yah with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods, the deities from among you, and prepare your hearts to Yah, and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. And then it says, the fourth verse, then the children of Israel did put away the deity and served Yah only. And Samuel said, gather all of Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto Yah. And they gathered together and drew water and poured it out before Yah and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against Yah. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in this place. And this was beautiful. Of course, as you know, I brought a lot of these things out, showing our people that we got to put away these strange gods. We can't go before Yah with these images in our mind, whether this image is a flag or whether this image is a cross or whether this is for the Most High. And this is what they did in 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter. And another beautiful point that and then I'll let you comment on, because you brought this out to us. I just want to make this last point in the book of 1 Samuel, the 7th chapter. You notice what the prophet Samuel did. He did something that a lot of people probably missed. And let me show you what happened in the 6th verse. You notice we're going to the rivers of Babylon. And people ask, why are y'all going down to the river? What's going on with this river? But watch the 6th verse. Look what Samuel did. And they gathered together in Mizpah and drew what? drew water and poured it out before Yah and fasted on that day. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to draw water, and we're going to pour it out to Yah as our fathers did. Now, was misplaced some special water? No, it wasn't. But this was something that our people did. So what is your comment on that?
Well, my comment on this, well, I agree with you totally. That's why I brought it up, because when I did my studying earlier today, I found out, like I mentioned earlier, in 1 Samuel, in Ezra, in Joel, those are the chapters thus far I haven't gotten to, so I'm still doing my studying, is that the people gathered themselves together wherever they were. They didn't just say, okay, we're not in the land, so we can't gather ourselves together. When they found out they were sinning and that the Most High had pronounced evil against them, they gathered themselves together wherever they are and wherever they were, and that's when they admitted their sin. That's when they decided, we're going to cease from doing this trespass. Then they prepared their heart to seek Yah, and they made a covenant that they were going to only serve only Yah and him only, not a flag, not JC, not Muhammad, not anybody else. They always, the commonality in all those chapters, what I just mentioned, was they're going to serve Yah and Yah only. And they did gather themselves together. They made no excuses, gathered themselves together.
Well, hallelujah. Praise the mighty God. I appreciate that. I appreciate that with reinforcement, and praise the mighty God.
Praise
for those comments. Right, shalom, shalom. And that was beautiful. And she's absolutely correct. And this is what we must do. This is what we're going to do. And I pray that our people will join us in doing so. And one of the things that she brought out that we're trying to do today is help our people to prepare themselves before Yah. And the very first thing one has to do, he has to change the way he thinks. And the only way you can do that is through wisdom. Wisdom will transform a person. You have to change your thoughts. Stop thinking evil. Meditate day and night on the Most High Yah. You can't tell me you're meditating on Yah and you're still haughty. You're meditating on Yah and you're still full of pride. You're meditating on Yah and you're arrogant. You're meditating on Yah and you all your thoughts is evil. No. If you're meditating on the Elohim or Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, all those things are going to flee away from you. And not only you have to change the way you think, you must change the way you talk. Stop talking nasty to people. Stop calling people out of their names, being mean-spirited. Start talking the talk of love, the talk of peace. Act like you're talking to King David. Act like you're talking to the Most High when you pray. That's how you talk to your people. You talk to them like you want to be talked to. Honor. With carefulness. With delicacy. This is how you talk with your people. And keep your thoughts on the Most High. And next week, we're going to start showing you the other things that you have to do. There's a lot of things that one must do to transform itself. And we're going to bring it out. And there's only one thing you need to have. You need to possess to transform yourself. It is called wisdom. Let us grab hold to her and let us find some peace. let us find true love. Let us find healing. Let us find life. And let us go before the Most High with another spirit, as Joshua and Caleb did. Let us transform ourselves unto a peculiar and special treasure unto Yah, separated and above all the nations on the earth. And why? Because Yah said, you are the light of the world. So let us become who Yah have chose and made us to be. Until next week, Yah loves you, and so do I. Shalom.